Today is July 21st. So more than a month we have been studying, hearing, writing, contemplating, discussing, reciting first canto. Right? So now in this 2.5-3 hours we try to remember what all we have been doing in the last 1 month. It's a revision class or overview class where we revisit the entire canto in such a brief time. So we'll focus mainly on the flow of the canto, the connections between different chapters. We'll not go deep into the purports or prayers. We may not recite all the verses certainly. We'll recite some key verses like that in this brief meeting. We will go through the entire canto. So this is also called mananam. We are trying to recollect what we have already studied. Okay. So in the first canto, first chapter, so Vyasadeva begins with the first three verses that are like prelude or invocation. The first verse, he defines the absolute truth. He describes the seven aspects of absolute truth.
जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादि तरतश्चार्थेष्वभिघ्नस्वराट् तेने ब्रह्महृदयादिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयः तेजो वारि मृदां यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृष धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि
सो इन दिस फर्स्ट वर्स वी हैव the definition of the absolute truth given. First he offers obeisances to the Supreme Lord, and later he also defines that absolute truth, various aspects of that absolute truth. Janmadhyasya yataha means he is the beginning of this creation. Janma, it's not accessing. Where are the files? Laptop has some problem or
no?
No. It has virus.
It seems like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And your laptop should not get affected. See, the contents, but all the, see, this is only some 4KB file is showing. Where is the original file? Jabit karke, there is a folder.
Yeah,
you check. In the inside Vidyapit folder, there is first canto overview file, PDF file. So Janmadhyasya yataha means he who is the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction. Anvayaditaratascha artheshu abhignaha. Anvayaditaratascha means directly or indirectly he is cognizant of all facts. Swarat, he is supremely independent. Tejo vari mrida, then tene brahma hridayadikavaye muhyanti yatsureha. Tene Brahma Hrda Adhikavaya means the original poet, the original personality, Brahmaji, has been enlightened by the Supreme Lord, Krishna. It is Krishna who has given him the knowledge from within the heart, right in the beginning of the creation. Muhyanti yat suraiha, in trying to understand this personality, even great so learned scholars also may get bewildered. How? Tejo vari mridam yatha. Sometimes you see earth, and you confuse that it is water. So in the desert you see land and then you feel that there is water there. It's a water body. You saw earth but you are thinking it is water. Sometimes you see fire, you may think it is water. Some say you see land, some say you see water and then think that it is something else. Right? So, like that we may get confused in trying to understand the Supreme Lord. Tejo, Vari, Mridam, Yatha, Vinimayo, Yatra, Trisargo, Amrusha. Only because of his maya, his potency, although the energies, three material modes, they are manifesting this entire creation. So thus this creation is false or temporary. It's not permanent. But it appears to be factual and permanent only because of his maya. And dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam. So he himself stays in his own eternal abode, eternally, which is devoid of any of this such material contamination. So there is satyam param dhimahi. Let us meditate on that absolute truth. Like that Vyasadeva begins his Bhagavatam. Next, he says, dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Vidyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam.
Vidyam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam.
Shrimad bhagavate mahamuni krute kimva parairishvarah. Sadyo hridya varudhyatetra krutibhe susrushubhistakshanat. Dharma projita kaitavo atra. In this Srimad Bhagavatam, the kaitava dharma or cheating religion or materially motivated religion is kicked out. Generally people perform dharma to get artha and they utilize artha to fulfill their kama, and when they are frustrated in kama they think about moksha. What kind of moksha? Sayujya, right? So this kind of performance of religion is kicked out in the beginning of Bhagavatam, right? What is recommended in Bhagavatam is paro dharma, savai pumsam paro dharma. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Nirmatsaranam. So this Bhagavatam is understandable by people who do not have any envy in their heart. To the extent you are non-envious, to that extent you can understand Bhagavata. To the extent one's heart is clouded with envy, malice, to that extent he cannot make sense of what's there in Bhagavata. Right? He will not be able to imbibe that principles. It's easier said than done. To actually imbibe the principles of Bhagavata is not a small thing. Next. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam. Vastavam, atra vastu means in this book, the real substance is described. Vastavam vastu, not the shadow of this material existence. Tapatrayon mulanam, and this Bhagavatam will remove the tapatrayas, the threefold miseries of material existence are removed by this book. What does that mean? A book does not remove our actual sufferings literally. Only thing is, the book will equip our consciousness with the ability to perceive Krishna's hand behind all happenings in this world. Next, tapatrayon muranam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamani Krite. This Srimad Bhagavatam is composed by Mahamani Vyasadeva. Kimva parair? What is the use of any other book? What is the need for any other book? Sadyo hridi avarudhyate atra kritibhi. By sincerely studying this Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will manifest in the heart. Right? It is already there, but we don't realize it. We don't perceive it. We are not conscious or aware of it. That awareness will increase. We are unable to reciprocate. Although he is willing to reciprocate, we have no interest. First, we don't recognize his presence only. What to speak of dealing with him or interacting with him. Like that. So like that, Bhagavatam glories are described. Next.
Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukamukhad amrutadrava samyutam. Pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaham.
So next, Sukadeva Goswami is inviting all the readers of Bhagavatam to relish the nectar of these topics of Krishna. Okay. Fine? It's clear? So like that, an invitation is given in the third verse to show Bhagavatam. This is what PPT. You have given PPT. Oh, you found another version. Okay. The PDF is more updated. That's all right. So we have seen these three. So after writing these three verses, he gets into the real subject matter of Bhagavatam. Suta Goswami was given a seat. A seat of honor by the sages of Naimisharanya. And they inquired from Suta Goswami. They had six questions. They first glorified Suta Goswami that Vettattvam Somyatat Sarvam Tattvatas Tadanugrahat Bhruyuhu Snigdhasya Sishyasya Guravo Guhyam Apyuta. Oh, my dear Suta Goswami, you are Anagha, freed from all sins. Akhyatani Adhitani. You have read and explained the scriptures very wonderfully. And Vedavidam Sreshtaha, you are the eldest of all Vedantic scholars. Saumya, you are very pure and simple hearted. Snigdha, you are very submissive and obedient towards your elders, towards your gurus. So, Vetatvam Saumya Tat Sarvam, because that's why you came to know all the confidential aspects of the scriptures very easily. The gurus reveal the confidential aspects of the scriptures when the disciple is Saumya, simple and pure, Snigdha, submissive and obedient and surrendered. So these are the two qualities that make one eligible to assimilate transcendental knowledge. The other qualities, Anagha, Akhyatani, Adhitani, Vedavidam Srishta, these qualities are little external qualities. They pertain to the skill set of Suta Goswami. But these two, last two, Saumya and Snigdha, they are about his attitude. You understood? So if skills are not there, that's fine. If attitude is not there, it's not at all fine. All these are there in Bhagavad Subodhani. Still, if you want, you can note down. So then they asked, the sages asked a question to Suta Goswami. They said that these Kali Yuga people are very less qualified. They have less lifespan. They are very lazy, misguided, unlucky, disturbed. Thus, they cannot understand everything. So you should speak what is the ultimate good for all people in general. First they asked the question, what is the ultimate good for all people in general. Then they mentioned the qualities of Kali Yuga people and then said, you may speak all the scriptures to ascertain what is good for people in general, but Kali Yuga people cannot digest it. You just speak the essence of all the scriptures. Right? What is good for everyone is mentioned in the scriptures, but that doesn't mean you should speak all the scriptures. Speak the essence of all the scriptures. That's their second question, which is more or less same. Both are connected. What is the ultimate good for people in general? What is the essence of all scriptures? Two questions. Then third question, they asked about the Purushavataras. we want to know. Third question is, why Krishna descended as the son of Devaki? What is the purpose of his descent? Fourth question, about Purushavataras. Fifth question, about the Leela Avataras. Sixth question, about the where the religious principles have taken shelter in the absence of Krishna. Apart from asking these six questions, the sages also glorify the process of hearing, glorify the holy name, glorify the potency of the devotees. So all this they mention. That's how the first chapter ends. Then in the second chapter, Suta Goswami begins to answer the questions. Before answering the questions, he offers prayers to Sukadeva Goswami, from whom he has heard Srimad Bhagavat. Yasvanubhava makhila shruti saramekam adhyatma deepamatititi rishatamta mondham samsarinam karunaya hapurana guhyam tam vyasa sunum payami gurum muninam yaha svanubhavam, svanubhavam, he has personally assimilated Bhagavatam. Akhila shruti saramekam, akhila shruti, the essence of all scriptures which is in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam has been personally experienced and assimilated and absorbed by Sukadeva Goswami. Adhyatma deepam, this Bhagavatam will illuminate the soul, enlighten the soul. Atititirishatam tamondham, this material existence is like andhakar, darkness, ocean of darkness. Atititirishatam, Bhagavatam will help us cross over this very easily. Samsarinam karunaya aha, out of his great compassion for all the samsaris, Sukadeva Goswami has spoken it. Samsarinam karunaya aha, he spoke. Purana guhyam, although this Purana is guhyam, very confidential, still he spoke. Tam vyasasu numapayami guru muninam, I offer my obeisances unto that Sukadeva Goswami who spoke so compassionately upon these people. So Sukadeva Goswami had so many such qualities, but this quality of compassion is specifically inspiring to Suta Goswami. And he also glorifies Sukadeva Goswami as Gurum Muninam. He is the spiritual master of all sages. When Sukadeva Goswami was speaking Bhagavatam, Vyasdev, his guru, he is sitting in the audience and hearing. Narada Muni, who is his Paramaguru, is also sitting in the audience and hearing Bhagavatam. They both are hearing as if they are hearing Bhagavatam for the first time. So Sukadeva Goswami's presentation is so enchanting and mesmerizing and relishable like that, even to his guru and paramaguru. So after offering obeisances, he also offers obeisances to Narayana. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva naruttamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudirayat. Then he appreciates the questions asked by the sages. Munayaha sadhu prishto aham bhavadbhir lokamangalam yaha kritaha krishna samprishno yenatma suprasidati. Oh my dear Munis, you have asked wonderful questions. Bhavad bhir lokamangalam, all of them will cause great welfare to these people in general. Yat kritaha krishna samprashno. Krishna samprashno. All these questions are connected to Krishna. The questions themselves are so satisfying to the heart. Yenatma suprasidati. Then he begins to answer the questions. First two questions, what are they? Ultimate good for people in general, essence of all scriptures. He answers them by speaking this. Savaivam samparo dharmo yato bhaktira dhokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Savaivam samparo dharmo, for all the human beings, the parodharma, the supreme occupation is to perform bhakti unto Adhokshaja Lord. And that has to be performed without any motivations and without any interruptions. Then it is completely satisfying to the self. Ye atma suprasidati. When we are not getting satisfaction in our heart while performing devotional service, please, we should go back and check. Do I have any personal motivations? Do I have any selfish agendas? Do I have any such desires other than serving the Lord? Right? Selfish desires. We need to check. Or am I desiring some breaks? Bahut ho gaya, sola mala kar karke. Thoda break leta hu. Am I thinking like that? We need to check. So, when there is a problem with our motivations and regularity in the performance, satisfaction will not come. But if we are regular in our practice of devotional service, without any selfish desires, selfish motivations, then satisfaction is guaranteed. Some people are so happy doing things. Some people are so murmuri. Vasudeve Bhagavatim. Bhakti Yoga Prayojitah. Janayatyasu Vairagyam. Jnanam Chayada Haitukam. Who will translate this verse? Who can tell me the meaning of this verse? Correct. Exactly. No separate endeavor to cultivate detachment and knowledge. They will automatically follow when you have bhakti. And so that bhakti is the supreme occupation, parodharma. Varnashrama dharma is also very important, but it's not the parodharma. It's not the supreme eternal occupation, varnashrama dharma. To live in this world, definitely people can follow certain social customs and all. But parodharma, eternal occupation, is bhakti only. That he establishes in the next several verses. So, one needs to maintain a healthy life. One needs to endeavor for self-preservation. And try to understand the absolute truth. Who is perceived as Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Right? So, he concludes. Tasmadekena manasam. Bhagavan Sattvatam Patih Shrotavyah Kirtitavyascha Dheyah Pujyascha Nityadam. Tasmad Ekena Manasa. With one pointed attention, perform devotional service. Unto whom? Bhagavan Sattvatam Patih. Unto that Bhagavan who is the Lord of all devotees. Shrotavyah. Hear about him. Kirtitavyascha. Glorify him. Dheyaha. Meditate on him. Pujaha. Worship him. Nityata. Regularly. Not once in a while. Like that. So that's the essence of bhakti. That's what bhakti is. Then he describes how the process of bhakti is. Means the whole progress of bhakti. Different stages of bhakti he describes. First it all begins with service to devotees. So, Mahat Seva, Satam Krupa, it begins with mercy of devotees and then Mahat Seva. You get little opportunity to serve the devotees. Then we develop little Shraddha, Adho Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha. You know the nine stages, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Avadanartha Nivritti, etc. So that is there. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives 14 stages. Even before developing that little Shraddha also, you should have the background of getting little mercy of devotees. And to be able to render little service to devotees. Like that. It begins like that. You can see in our tabular form, everything is given. Okay. Next. After discussing the stages of bhakti, he says, one may think that bhakti has to be performed to anyone. I'm worshipping this demigod, that demigod, this Baba, that Baba. That is also bhakti. I'm so and so's bhakta. No, bhakti actually is Vasudeva bhakti, Krishna bhakti. That he clarifies. Vasudeva para Veda, Vasudeva para Makha, Vasudeva param Jnanam, Vasudeva parantapa, like that. Vasudeva is everything. He is the topmost object of worship. One may worship Brahma and Shiva, but by that we may not get liberation from this material world and get entrance into the spiritual world. One should worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Right? Just like goodness is better than passion and ignorance, worshipping Vishnu is better than worshipping Brahma and Shiva. So Vasudeva is the essence of all processes. So bhakti has to be performed unto him. Then he describes the answer to the fourth question. What was the fourth question? Purushavataras. He did not answer the third question. He began answering the fourth question. Why? What is third question? Why Krishna descended into this world? What is fourth question? What are the Purushavataras? Why fourth question is answered before third question? My question to you. Seventh question. Before? So, Krishna appeared in this world, but before that world has to be created, right? First he answers how the world has been created, then he answers why, how Krishna descended into this world. So, when you are answering, when you are speaking Purushavataras, that is basically the process of creation. How the Purushavatara's role is to create this world. So he is not answering them chronologically, he is answering them logically. It's a logical way. So he describes briefly Purushavataras. Who are the Purushavataras? Number one, Mahavishnu or Karanodakshaya Vishnu. Number two, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Karanodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of the entire material creation. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of individual universe, one universe. And Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of individual souls. Right? So as many souls are there, those many Kshirodakshaya Vishnus are there. Means as Paramatma. But within the entire universe there is only one Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Right? But number of Garbhodakshaya Vishnus is equal to number of Brahmandas. But there is only one Mahavishnu, like that. So he answers. And answer to question 3. It's actually Garbhodakshaya, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, from whose bodily pores millions of universes come out. And that Vishnu enters each of the universes as Garbhodaka Vishnu. And later he manifests this Viratrup. Means manifests all the 14 planetary systems. Right? So that is mentioned. And third question is also answered, that is, Krishna descends into this world to reclaim people in mode of goodness. Right? Basically, Krishna's descent is meant to perform various activities, and in relationship with the conditioned soul, it is basically to attract the conditioned soul's attention towards the spiritual world and spiritual activities, like that. So that's the second chapter. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So then, in the third chapter, he discusses various Leelavataras, like Kumaras, Varaha, Narada, Naranarayana, Kapila, Dattatreya, etc., etc. He describes 22 incarnations. That is answering the fifth question about the Leelavataras. Then, he says that there are so many incarnations. I just mentioned 22. But as avatara hi asankhyaya, hariya hi sattva nidher dvijaha, asankhya means innumerable incarnations are there. So just like an unlimited water reservoir, so many rivulets may come out of it, still it doesn't get exhausted. Similarly, although millions of incarnations are coming from Supreme Lord Krishna, he himself remains the same. He is unlimited. So, ete cham sakalaha pumsaham, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, Indrari Vyakulam Lokam, Mridayanti Yuge Yuge, ete cha amsakalaha Krishna. All the incarnations that I have spoken are amshas, means immediate expansions, or kalas, means expansion of Krishna, of Pumsa, Purushavataras. But Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is personally, directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in the list of 22 incarnations, he mentions Krishna also. But at the end he says, all the others are expansions or incarnations or partial portions of Purushavataras, but this Krishna is not like that. He is the source of this Purushavataras also. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whenever Indrari, whenever the enemies of Indra torment this universe, whenever the universal administrative system, the government, is getting collapsed, the Lord will descend and establish the government again. Right? Like that. So this Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, this is the Paribhasha Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam, as mentioned by Jiva Goswami. We have gone through the analysis of this. Have you gone through the five explanations of the first verse? You can see at the end of Bhagavat Subodhani there is one section called special verses. So, you have seen it? You have seen it? Yes, Gaur Chandra Bhagavan Prabhu. Are you with me? Yes, Prabhu, you ask your question. Yeah. Yeah, you had a question in the exam, correct. So, five explanations of the first verse are given. And next, Savai Pumsam Parodharmo, various facets of that verse. How Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explained that Savai Pumsam Parodharmo verse. Yato Bhakti Radhokshaji. What is that? Ahaituki and Apratihata. How to understand these two? Causeless and ceaseless bhakti. Then we also have Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. What are the various points that Jiva Goswami explains? Right. You have gone through all of that, right? I hope. Next. Etadrupam bhagavato hirupasya chidatmanaha. So, after describing various Leelavataras, one may have a question. What about this Virat Rup? Is it also an avatar? No, it's not an avatar. It's not an eternal incarnation. Virat Rup is basically imagining the various aspects of this material creation to be the limbs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is a bona fide imagination. Certainly, Lord's body is not made of these material elements. It's a gross material form, but the Supreme Lord has a Satchidananda spiritual form, eternal blissful form. However, this material world is the energy of the Lord, and energy is non-different from the energetic person. In that sense, if we compare various features of this material world to be the limbs of the Supreme Lord, there is nothing wrong. It's a bona fide imagination, which is done at several places in Bhagavatam. Right? But we need to understand that this gross material form of the universe, which is understood to be the Lord's form, is not his eternal form. It is only a material form of the Lord. In that sense you can understand. But he has a spiritual form. Just like a jiva, we also have these forms, which is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. There is a gross body. Behind this, there is a subtle form, mind, intelligence, ego. Behind this gross and subtle material forms, there is a spiritual form for the soul also. Similarly, there is a gross and subtle material form of the Lord in this material universe, but behind this gross and subtle material forms of the Lord, there is a spiritual form also. Clear? So how to understand him? Saveda dhatu padavim parasya durantavirya rathanga panehe yoma yaya santatayanu vritya bhajeta tatpada saroja gandham. Who will tell the meaning of this verse? You have memorized this? Who will tell the meaning? Raise your hand enthusiastically before I speak some name. Yes, Gaur Chandra Bhagavan Prabhu. Yes, Roshan Kumar Prabhu. Have you seen this verse? Yes, Rakesh Prabhu. Abhishek Madhav Prabhu. Where is he? Huh? Yo Maya, Yo Amaya. Hare Krishna, yes. Who else? Vikas, you attended twice, first canto. The devotional service, yeah, in a sense what you said is correct, but there are three aspects in that verse. Devotional service done how? Yo amayaya santataya anuvrittya, right? No reservations, no interruptions, right? And favorable devotional service. Amayaya is not Lord's Maya there, right? It's like a favorable service rendered. It's without any reservations. So we can't afford to forget certain verses. They're really key verses. Abhi sabko janmadhyasetah to aate hai na? Everybody knows janmadhyasetah here. Ete chamsa kalapumsa, you understand? You know, you can tell the meaning also. Savaipumsam parodharma. So there are some key verses which you can never effort to say that I don't know this verse. I don't know the meaning of this verse. Because you have the opulence of dwelling only on Bhagavatam throughout the day. 5 days, no one is touching you. 5 into 24. With Bhagavatam. In weekends also, some people have services, many people have services, but it's not so packed in responsibility. Someone else is taking responsibility. Nandan Prabhu is responsible in Goshala. You go and then do a couple of hours of service. That's all right. You don't have the whole load on your head to run the department of Goshala, right? You're just contributing little bit. You don't have that anxiety. You go at your prescribed time, do something, go to DT room, wash some pots and come back. Maintaining DT room is not in your responsibility. So utilize this time effectively. Right. Next. Then he answers the sixth question. After glorifying Bhagavatam in various ways, he answers, Krishne Swadhamopagate Dharma Gnana Adibhissaham Kalau nashtadrishamesham Puranarko dhunoditaham Krishne swadhama upagati. Krishna went to his own dham. Dharma gnanadi bhissaha, accompanied by dharma and gnana. Kalau nashtadrishamesha Puranarko dhunoditaha. When Krishna ascended, he again descended in the form of Bhagavatam, to show path to the Kali Yuga people who have lost their vision. Nashta drisham esha. Clear? So that is the third chapter. So up to third chapter we have seen the glory of bhakti, the glory of Bhagavatam, the glory of Bhagavan, and the answers to the six questions. Purusha avataras, Leela avataras and all that. Clear? Now, the Naimisharanya sages ask some more questions to Suta Goswami. They say, oh, you have said Bhagavatam has descended after Krishna's departure, and Bhagavatam is the shelter of all religious principles in the absence of Krishna. We want to know the history of Bhagavatam. How did Vyasadeva compile this Bhagavatam? What is his inspiration? Then later we want to know about the speaker of Bhagavatam and hearer of Bhagavatam. So speak to us about the birth, activities and renunciation of Parikshit Maharaj, and also about Sukadeva Goswami and how did their meeting take place. So they ask these questions in the beginning of the fourth chapter. Then he starts describing. So Vyasadeva
has compiled, has divided this one Veda into multiple parts, four parts. Earlier, the Vedic mantras, you see, Brahmaji has spoken Vedic mantras from his four heads, is it not? So, from his four heads, these four mantras are coming, four categories. So, they are all like a big pile of stones, colorful stones, red stones, blue jewels, red jewels, green jewels, yellow jewels, like that. So, what did Vyasadeva do? He separated all the red stones, blue separate, green separate, yellow separate, like that he separated them. That means dividing one Veda into four. And within that also, within that red stones also, the big stones separate, small stones separate, stones of different shapes separate. So like that, some sections and subsections are also made. Vyasadeva has done it. Vyasadeva has employed some of his disciples to do it. He has given Rig Veda to Paila Rishi, Sama Veda to Jamini Rishi, Yajur Veda to Vaishampayana Rishi, and Atharva Veda to Angira Rishi. And they divided these Vedas into sections, subsections, with the help of their disciples and grand disciples, and just propagated this Vedic knowledge. And he also wrote Puranas, and he also wrote Upanishads. So after doing so much, also, Vyasadeva was not satisfied at heart. He was feeling incomplete. He was dissatisfied. So Vyasadeva was contemplating, I have underwent strict disciplinary vows, and I have unpretentiously worshipped the Vedas, the spiritual master, and all these things I have done, but still, I have not attained any satisfaction despite doing so much of selfless work for the welfare of people in general. So as he was thinking like that, he got a thought. Is it because I have not pointed out devotional service in specific? So he was thinking, then Narada Muni came suddenly. Then Narada Muni told that Vyasadeva, actually Narada Muni asked him, why are you looking so despondent? Then Vyasadeva said, you are like air, you are like super soul, you are all pervading like sun. So you can easily understand the hearts of other living entities. You only please diagnose my problem and tell me the reason why am I feeling incomplete. Then Narada Muni diagnosed. He said, you have not sufficiently broadcasted the glories of the Supreme Lord in the literatures that you have done. Number two, you have overemphasized the four Purusharthas. Instead of emphasizing bhakti and the Lord's glories, you have had a lot of discussion about four Purusharthas, too much. So that's why you're getting dissatisfied. Then he describes different types of Vedic literature, different types of literatures. Materialistic literatures are Nayadvachas Chitra Padam Harer Yesho. Can someone recite this verse? Nayadvachas Chitra. Tadvayasam. Excellent. So that is about materialistic literatures. Because although they are ornamented nicely with so many literary embellishments, so much of nice poetry, but still if they are not glorifying the Supreme Lord, they are like pilgrimage places for crows. Crows will go to garbage and eat there. But swans will swim in lotus ponds. Nice rivers. So swan has a taste, crow has another taste. Similarly, materialistic people will like crows, they read this materialistic literatures about sex and about politics, about various other materialistic activities. But devotees do not take pleasure in them. Tadvagvi sargo janata ghaviplavo. Yasmin pratishlokam abaddhavatyapi namani anantasya yashonkitani yat shrunvanti gayanti grinanti sadhavah tadvag visargo janataghaviplavo. Yasmin pratishloka mabaddhavatyapi. On the other hand, the spiritual literatures glorifying the Supreme Lord, even if they are not very perfectly composed, still they can create a revolution in the lives of people, misdirected civilization, because they glorify Krishna. Right? And so he says like that. And he also describes how bhakti is the best path, it's the only valuable asset. Naishkarmya doesn't shine without achyuta bhava. So like that he glorifies in various ways the process of bhakti, and whatever we do in bhakti is credited forever. Jugupsitam dharma krite anushasatah. What you have done is quite abominable. People generally have a tendency to enjoy, and you have encouraged them to enjoy more by presenting this karmakandic stuff in your writings, overemphasizing dharmartha, kama moksha, etc. So please describe the Lord's glories. That will satisfy you, that will satisfy others also. That is beneficial for others also. Then Narada Muni, to give an explanation, how important and how glorious the process of bhakti is, he describes his own previous story, in the previous life. He is the son of maid servant in his previous life. And some Bhaktivedantas came during monsoon to that place where they were living, and Narada Muni's mother was serving them, and Narada Muni also started serving them as a small boy, 5-year-old child. Narada, at that time he was not Narada Muni, he was the son of a maid servant, his name was not mentioned. So he served them, he associated with them, with their permission he took their remnants, and thus. And also when they were leaving at the end of Chaturmasya, they also instructed him in spiritual knowledge. Thus Narada Muni also progressed in the process of devotional service and attained the stage of prema. The stages of devotional service that we discussed in the second chapter, 16th verse till 25th verse, those stages are actually seen in Narada Muni's life, if you carefully observe. That is discussed, right, in your regular classes? Okay. So he says, see, I am transformed by bhakti. And Vyasadev asks further, oh, how do you remember something that happened in the previous day of Brahma? Because Narada Muni described his past life, which happened in the previous day of Brahma. And what are the other activities that you have done after the Bhaktivedanta instructed you? Then Narada Muni started narrating. After initiation, the sages departed, and one day my mother was bitten by a serpent and she died. She is my only shelter, but she died. But I just took this as an opportunity to progress in devotional service, and I took this as Krishna's arrangement and an opportunity for me to get detached from material relationships, and I travel towards the north to perform bhakti. So Narada Muni left. So a 5-year-old boy was equipped with the maturity to actually understand and see Krishna's hand behind this calamity. People will blame God when something unpleasant happens in their lives. People will blame God. You see, you know, in those movies, people will go to the temple and question the Lord, how can you do like this? And they may sing a song also, all the ganti, bells in the temple are ringing in all different directions, camera also ulta lega dekhade, yes. And someone, at that time only some rain starts happening, thunder starts happening, right? People question God. But someone who has taken shelter of Bhagavatam, he doesn't question God. He accepts the will of God, right? And sees Krishna's hand behind all the happenings, and without blaming him, he takes more shelter of Krishna. Because he knows what is good for me more than I know. That faith is there. But a conditioned soul, even if he has some belief that there is some God, he expects the God to be his order supplier. God means He has to do what I like, what I feel is good for me. But a devotee means, what is good for me, Krishna knows, God knows. Let him orchestrate events in my life. I accept them the way he has arranged. So like that, that's the surrender. So Narada Muni goes, travels from one place to another place, and he picks up this. He was fatigued. He takes some water on the way and sits under a tree and starts meditating as per the instructions given to him by the Bhaktivedantas. So he was meditating. Then he could see the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord. He was so absorbed. Premati bhara nirbhinna pulakango. All his hairs were standing on end. His heart is filled with love for Krishna. So he was seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, and suddenly he lost that form. He opened his eyes. The Lord is not there. So he started again focusing, concentrating his mind upon the form of the Lord, and nothing is visible to him. He was following the same process. Prabhupada writes there that Narada Muni, although he followed the same process with the same intensity, he did not see the Lord. Means only our mechanical endeavors will not allow us to see the Lord. Lord's sanction also has to be there. So Narada Muni could see the Lord earlier, but now he could not see. Seeing Narada Muni's sincere endeavors, the Lord started speaking to him. He could hear the voice. He spoke that, Narada Muni, no more darshans to you in this lifetime. You should advance in devotional service. I will not give my darshan to someone who has material taints. Who is still a kuyogi, immature practitioner. Actually, Narada Muni does not have material taints. The Lord wanted to increase the humility of Narada Muni by saying that. Somebody may have done the service perfectly. You just report to your authority. It's very wonderfully done. He will find some fault there, here and there. And there. Third class service. Means, with a sincere intent, he may chastise him, although the output is nice, reasonably very good. But he chastises him, pointing out some little one or two shortcomings. That should not be taken as offense by a submissive, sincere subordinate. He should not feel offended when a superior chastises him for a small fault. At least in the beginning days. That's called lalane bahavo dosha tadane bahavo gunaha tasmat putram cha shishyam cha. You know this verse? Prabhupada quotes this often. Tadayet nadu lalayet. Lalane bahavo dosha. Means if you pat the back, if you pamper the child or a disciple or a son, their faults will increase. Lalane bahavo dosha. Second. Tadane bahavo gunaha. Tadana. Means if you chastise that subordinate, chastise that disciple or a student or a son, their good qualities will increase. Tasmat putram cha sishyam cha tadayet, natu lalayet. Therefore, if you are dealing with a disciple or a son, chastise them and don't pamper them so much, unduly. But if the disciple is grown up a little bit, if he has spent some time, then the spiritual master or the father, when he is dealing with his son, they should treat them as equals. Same Chandakya Pandit also says one more thing. So initially you give them affection. Later, from this age to this age, I think 5 to 15, 5 to 16, like that, you take a stick and just start disciplining them. And beyond certain age, beyond 16 or whatever, treat them like friends. Whatever training has to happen, has happened. Whatever, jitna sudharnaya sudhargaya, there is no more scope. He's not no more trainable. Initial days, you become strict to train him. After some time, whatever he has learned in this training phase, he has learned. After that, you should treat him like a friend and try to accept him the way he is. Like that. Okay, in this context, I just mentioned that. But here, the Lord is pointing out in Narada Muni, you have material taints. That's why I will not give you any more darshans. basically why Narada Muni was spoken like this, why the Lord spoke to Narada Muni like this, because at that point Narada Muni came to prema stage. He passed through the Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anarth Nivritti, Asakti, all this he passed. He came to prema stage. But his prema is infant prema. That infant prema should become youthful prema. Within prema also you can advance, you can intensify your prema. Narada Muni is expecting that. Right? So, Narada Muni, the Supreme Lord is expecting that from Narada Muni. So, then Narada Muni did not get offended. Material offense, material taints, kya chal raha? I am in prema stage, pata hai kya? I am on prema stage, you are telling that material taints are there in me. I have passed Anartha Nivritti long back. Without having prema, Narada Muni cannot perceive the Lord. Even such great souls also have to undergo that purification. The more you boil the sabji, the more its taste will be. The more raw it is. If someone doesn't want to get boiled, someone doesn't want to get trained, they have become so extremely sensitive to comments and feedbacks. So the more resistance they show, their whatever fathers or spiritual masters, they will not just give them any feedbacks or comments or help them to improve. Because he is so brittle that he is not accepting my correction. So let me just keep quiet. I can give him as much as he wants or he can afford to take. Like that. So here Narada Muni was given such treatment by the Lord. Personal training. You have prema, I understand. But that is infant prema. Come to youthful prema. So, for that, he had to withdraw darshan. But after that, Narada Muni became, got a spiritual body. He became Narada Muni and he started glorifying the Lord. He is one of the pure devotees. Then, whenever he wants, he can take darshan. Narada Muni will travel through all three planetary systems. He can go to Vaikuntha whenever he wants and have a dialogue with Vishnu. He can go to Kailash, have a dialogue with Shiva. He can go to Brahmalok, have a dialogue with Brahmaji. You can't do that. Who can go to Vaikuntha and Brahmalok here? Whenever you want. Narada Muni can go. So, if the Lord has not withdrawn his darshan and said, bas, idhar tak aaya na bas, sufficient. Then Narada Muni will not become Narada Muni. So, that discussion with the Lord intensified his practice of devotional service and made him Narada Muni. Like that.
Correct.
Different devotees are dealt with by the Lord in different ways. The common thing in all these dealings is the Lord's unparalleled affection for his devotees, no doubt about it. However, he has his unique flavor in dealing with different people. Why can't the Lord give darshan to Narada Muni also, while he gave darshan to his disciple Dhruva? At the same age. So we need to accept that Lord is Swarat. That's the first verse of Bhagavatam. He can do whatever he wants. Sometimes we may get the reason, sometimes we may not get the reason. But as devotees, we accept him the way he is. If some acharyas sometimes point out certain a particular reason why the Lord behaved like this in this context, why he dealt with certain devotee in a certain manner, while with other devotees in a similar context he did not do so. Sometimes such reasons are given, sometimes they were not given. As much as now Dhruva Maharaj was desirous of certain benediction, so Lord came, appeared in front of him and gave benediction. Dhruva Maharaj desired to offer prayers to the Lord, but he does not have the necessary vocabulary or knowledge. So the Lord touched his conscience and then empowered him, bestowed all the knowledge in him, Vedic knowledge. So in that context, that is the storyline. And Lord also wanted to fulfill his desires and all. Second, in Narada Muni's case, you don't see Narada Muni to be doing some tapasya or having some desires to be fulfilled through the Lord. There, Narada Muni is more like Lord is dealing with him to just increase his prema and make him more and more advanced in devotional service. Right? There, the transaction is not centered around doing some tapasya and getting some benedictions. Right? There, Narada Muni's story is mainly quoted for how a devotee advances in devotional service. First, he began in the association of Bhaktivedantas and he progressed through all the stages and he came up to the stage of prema by sincerely practicing the process. And now within prema also, from infancy to youthful prema, he is progressing with the help of the Lord. So that's the explanation for Narada Muni. Narada Muni's case is an example of someone who is progressing in the path of bhakti. Right? And Dhruva Maharaj is, he did some tapasya, definitely progress is happening there in him, but there is a purification of material desire there. There's a reciprocation for the desires that he is having. There's a tapasya done with an intent to get certain boons. So that's the context there. Chakravarti Pad says, Narada Muni actually did not have that material taints. Only thing is, his prema is not, what do you say, paripakva, you say, right? Pakva. It's like unripe mango. It's not yet ripe mango. His prema, he is having prema, that prema has to be intensified. That's the only thing. But he's saying material taints you have, that's basically to increase his humility, as I already explained. That's how Chakravarti Pad explains that. Okay, then the Lord also says, Satsevaya adirghayapi jata maidridhamatihi hitvavadyam imum lokam ganta majjanatam asi. If you do satseva, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if it is adirgha, even if it's done for a short amount of time, you can advance. Like that he says. So then Narada Muni perfected his life in that manner and he leaves his body in that, and in the next creation of Brahma he again takes birth in a spiritual body. Right? So then Narada Muni told, this is my story. My dear Vyasdev, you should therefore glorify the process of bhakti and glorify the Supreme Lord profusely, and that's how you should write Srimad Bhagavatam, and you should not be just restricting your writing to just dharmartha kama moksha topics only. Then he says this verse, etadhi atura cittanam matras parshe chayamuhu bhavasindhu plavo drashto hari chiryana varnanam. Everybody knows this verse? Okay, next. So that is 6 chapters. And in the 7th chapter, Vyasadeva begins to write Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh. Correct. So I made it long back, at least 3-4 years back. 2015 I made. Yes, he already wrote it. At that time it was like a mode of goodness Purana with the glories of Vishnu to some extent, the Lord. But it is not so much dripping with the process of bhakti or the glories of the Lord so much. After Narada Muni instructed him, he revised it and then improvised it with more glorification of the Lord and glorification of bhakti. It's there. You can read first again the 7th chapter. We'll see that now. So in the 7th chapter, this Vyasadeva starts meditating on the Supreme Lord. I have taken this chapter, right, for your batch. How many did not join at that time? When did you join? 13th chapter? 13th? 7th chapter? 7th? 10th? 8th chapter? Okay, fine. So Vyasadeva meditated on the Supreme Lord. He wanted to write Srimad Bhagavatam. He started meditating. In his meditation, he saw Krishna, he saw Maya, he saw Jiva, who is suffering because of Maya. And this meditation is devotional meditation, not like karmakandika or yogi kind of meditation. Then Vyasadeva perceived the solution for the sufferings of the living entities. That is, anartha upashamam sakshat bhakti yoga madhokshaje lokasya ajanato vidvams chakare satvata samhitam. So many anarthas are there, unwanted things, unwanted experiences, living entities undergoing. So mitigating all these miseries is possible by bhakti yoga. So to glorify that process of bhakti yoga and relieve the conditioned soul from this shoka, moha, bhaya, Vyasadeva has written Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Oh, if you enter, it will go to new slide. So Vyasadeva taught this Srimad Bhagavatam to his son, Sukadeva Goswami. Then Sukadeva Goswami patiently learned this Bhagavatam. In that context, the sages of Naimisharanya ask Suta Goswami that why did Sukadeva Goswami undergo the trouble of studying Srimad Bhagavatam under Vyasadeva when he himself is self-realized and so knowledgeable? Then Suta Goswami answers that Atmaramascha manayo nirgrantha api urukrame kurvanti ahaitukim bhaktim mittham bhuta guno harihi. Atmaramas, munis, nirgranthas. Nirgrantha means one who is beyond any grantha. He is way beyond any bookish knowledge. He has realized knowledge. Or nirgrantha means such a poor person who is uneducated, no grantha in his life, like that. There are different meanings for Atmarama also, Muni also, Nirgrantha also. Anyways, whatever may be the personality, they perform devotional service. Kurvante ahaitukim bhakti. Why? Because ittam bhuta gunoharihi. Krishna's qualities are so attractive that they can attract even great Atmaramas also. Thus, although Sukadeva Goswami is an Atmaram, self-satisfied person, self-realized person, still he got attracted to the qualities and activities of the Lord and he studied Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of Vyasadeva. Okay. Next. Slideshow. Answer to the first question is over. The sages of Naimisharanya asked in the 4th chapter about the history of Bhagavatam that is spoken. Basically, Narada Muni inspired Vyasadev to write Srimad Bhagavatam in this manner. Then, the second question about Parikshit Maharaj, about his birth, death, activities and all this. So Ashwatthama killed the 5 sleeping sons of Pandavas and Arjuna takes a vow to kill Ashwatthama and bring his head to Draupadi so that she can stand on his head and take bath. Like that. That's how Kshatriyas take vows. You don't take such vows. So Ashwatthama was captured by Arjuna. He ran away and Arjuna was chasing him with Krishna driving his chariot. Then Ashwatthama, out of his fear, he released Brahmastra and Arjuna was bewildered at what's happening. Then he glorified Krishna, offered prayers to Krishna, 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 Mahabaho, Bhaktanam, Abhayankara. What is this glaring effulgence? Then Krishna revealed to him that it's actually Ashwatthama who released Brahmastra. You also released Brahmastra and withdraw both the Brahmastras and capture Ashwatthama. And Arjuna did exactly like that. Then Krishna told Ashwatthama, you should immediately kill Ashwatthama. Krishna told Arjuna to immediately kill Ashwatthama. But Arjuna did not like the idea of killing him. He took him to the camp. Krishna told him that he has violated the codes of religious war and he killed 5 sleeping boys who do not have, what is that, mattam, pramattam, unmattam, suptam, balam, striyam, jadam, viratham, bhitam. So all these categories of people, one who is intoxicated, one who is mad, one who is a small child, or one who is a woman, old man, one who does not have weapons, one who does not have ratha, chariot. So all these people are not supposed to be killed. But Ashwatthama killed that. So you are supposed to kill him. But Arjuna just arrested him and brought him to the camp. Then seeing him, Draupadi became very compassionate and said, I am suffering the death of my five sons. So how can I give the similar experience, painful experience to Kripi, who is the mother of Ashwatthama? And on top of it, you have learned military art by the mercy of Dronacharya, who is Ashwatthama's father. How can you kill him? Kill his son, Guru's son. And also, Ashwatthama is a Brahmana. So like that, she gives various arguments and tells why Ashwatthama should not be killed. Then, Bhima says Ashwatthama has to be killed because for no reason he has killed innocent boys. So he should not be forgiven. But Krishna says Bhima wants killing and Ashwatthama, Draupadi doesn't want that killing, and Yudhishthira Maharaj and others are also supporting Draupadi. So you do the needful. You should satisfy everyone. You should satisfy me also. Then Krishna, then Arjuna removed the money from Ashwatthama's head and chased him away. The Ashwatthama's life was spared, but respect, honor was destroyed. Then Krishna begins to depart. He wanted to go to this place, Dwaraka, because he came long back to Hastinapur and he has made arrangements for the war. He stayed there only. He went to Kurukshetra, participated as a chariot driver in the war, and after the war also he was for a while. Then he wanted to depart. He was about to move. Then Uttara came running towards Krishna, saying that some fiery weapon is coming to destroy my embryo. Krishna, I don't wish to live, but I want the life of my child. So please protect me. Then Krishna entered inside Uttara's womb and counteracted the heat of Brahmastra, which was released by Ashwatthama, and protected Parikshit Maharaj in the womb of Mother Uttara. So at that time, Kunti came and offered various prayers to Krishna. Namasye Purusham Tvadyam. Ishwaram Prakriteh Param. Alakshyam Sarvabhutanam. Antar Bahiravasthitam. Namasye Purusham Tvadyam. Oh my dear Krishna, you are Purusha, Adi Purusha, Purusham Adyam. He is the Adi of Purusha incarnations also. And he is the original person. Ishwaram, Supreme Controller, Prakriteh Param, beyond this material nature. Alakshyam, Sarvabhutanam. He is not easily understandable or accessible by people in general. Although Antar Bahiravasthitam, although he is situated within and without. So, like that, various prayers, we won't be able to go through all these prayers. So then she glorifies him, Krishnaya Vasudevaya, Namaha Pankajanabhaya, Namaha Pankajamalini. She first glorifies Krishna in the beginning. Then she recalls all the favors done by Krishna to her. Kunti recalls. Poisoned cake. You have protected us from Vishan. Vishan Mahagneh Purushada Darshanat Asat Sabhaya Vanavasa Krichrataha. You protected us, protected my son Bhima from that poisoned cake. You protected us in that Lakshagraha from fire. You protected us from cannibals. Cannibals means the man-eaters, human-eaters. You protected us from vicious assembly. Draupadi, you protected her honor. So like that, in various ways you protected. So let all those calamities come again and again. Vipadaha shantutaha shashvatatra tatra jagadguru. Bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhavadarshanam. Let all the calamities come again. Let my son be poisoned again. Let our house be burnt to fire again. Let my daughter-in-law be disrobed again. No problem. As long as we are able to take your shelter. Because through these calamities, we get an opportunity to win your favor, to take your shelter more intensely. Thus, we are very fortunate. So, that's why she is praying for calamities. It's not an ordinary prayer which we ordinary, normal people cannot imitate. Then she says, Janmaishwarya Srita Shri Bhir Edhamana Madah Puman Naivarhatya Bhidhatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. Janma, Aishwarya, Srita Shri, one who is having high birth, great money, education, etc., they cannot attain the Lord easily. But Krishna is attainable by people who are Akinchana Gocharam, who are Akinchana, materially impoverished. That means, one may have Janma, Aishwarya, Srita Shri, not a problem. But one should not have possessiveness towards all of them. One should not be puffed up of having so many such qualifications. Akinchana means one who is devoid of all false ego and possessive mentality. He can understand Krishna better. One who is puffed up of his material accomplishments like Janma, Aishwarya, Srita Shri, he cannot see Krishna like that. Basically, material qualifications are not prerequisites to get the favor of Krishna. Right? So then, she also glorifies him in various ways and she explains how Krishna's activities are bewildering and surprising, astonishing. One activity she remembers is Gopiyadadi, how in Damodar Leela, Krishna himself is fearful of Mother Yashoda, that she is binding him or beating him. Gopyad, Gopyadate Tvayi Krita Gasida Matavad Yate Dashashrukalilanjana Sambharamaksham Vaktram Diniya Bhayabhavanaya Sthitasya Samam Vimohayati Bhir Apiyad Bibheti. All the fear personified is fearful of you. You are fearful of Mother Yashoda stick. Gopyadade, Gopi, Yashoda, because you have done offenses. Tvai krita agasi. Agasi means offenses. You have done so many offenses. First you broke the pot, you stole butter. Then you distributed butter to the monkeys. You have ran away from the home. And you made Yashodamayi run behind you in various streets in Vrindavan. How many offenses you have done? Because of all these offenses, she wanted to punish you. Then what is your condition? Vaktram niniya bhayabhavanaya sthitasya. Vaktram niniya means you have bent your head low. Like this. Awaiting the judgment of Mother Yashoda. Vaktram niniya bhayabhavanaya sthitasya samam vimohayati bhirapiyat bibheti. Seeing this, I am getting thoroughly bewildered, astonished. Different people have different opinions about your birth also. Some people say you descended to glorify pious kings. Some say to please King Yadu. And some people say that you wanted to answer the prayers of Devaki and Vasudev. And killing Asuras is another reason. In response to Brahmaji's prayers, that's another reason. But actually, you descend to rejuvenate the process of devotional service. And what is the glory of the devotional service? Srinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Abhikshnasaha, Smaranti, Nandanti, Tavehitam Janaha, Tayeva Pashyanti, Achirena Tavakam, Bhava Pravaho, Paramam Padambujam. All of you are familiar with this verse. Next. So like that he glorifies, and Krishna responded with a smile. Initially, and at the end, Kunti Maharani also said that if you go now, who will protect my sons? Now that we have gained this kingdom, so many people are envious of us. So they may attack us. How will you protect? And Krishna might say that you have Bhima's Gada and you have Arjuna's Gandiva. Then Kunti says, without you, all this is useless. They may be powerful. Our power and opulence and influence are not substantial without you, my dear Lord. You should stay here. Then she started thinking, if Krishna stays here with my sons, my parental family, Vrishnis, will be affected. Is it not? Why am I thinking like that? How can I think like that? Then later she felt, why am I thinking in terms of my husband's family and parents' family? I am getting biased or caught up in these material relationships. Let me give up these thoughts. Let me focus on Krishna. Then she says, Atha Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshume Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu. I have a thick Sneha Pasha towards Pandavas and Vrishnis. Cut that knot of material affection. But let me maintain my relationship with them because they are devotees. But that material aspect of this relationship, which is my parents or my parental family or my maternal family and father, the husband's family, sons, I should not be having that kind of material reasons for relationship. Like that she says. So Krishna responded with a smile. At that time, Yudhishthir Maharaj came there. He was so aggrieved. He was feeling that I am so sinful. Only to enthrone me as the king of Hastinapur, 64 crore people have been killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. All this is to enthrone me as a king only. Duryodhana could have ruled in his own style. So why should I become the king? Just for my sake, so many people are killed. I cannot be relieved from all these sinful reactions. He was really feeling guilty and morose, devastated. Krishna tried to console him. It didn't work. Vyasadeva tried to console him. Didn't work. Dhaumya tried to console him. No, it could not. It didn't happen. Then Krishna took Pandavas to Bhishma. So Bhishma welcomed all these people. Bhishma welcomed all the great personalities who have arrived on the battlefield when Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows, not roses. He was unable to move. But he welcomed all of them with his sweet words only. Then Pandavas came in front of Bhishma, and Bhishma was satisfied to see them in this royal attires as kings. So far, he only saw how Duryodhan, Dushyasan, Karna, Shakuni, Dhritarashtra, all these people were trying to kill Pandavas in various ways, usurp their kingdom, give them all kinds of difficulties. So now he has seen them very well situated as kings. Seeing that, Bhishma's heart was filled with satisfaction and he started speaking to them. Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, yadyuyam dharmanandana. My dear sons of Pandu, you have underwent so much of tribulations. You don't deserve to be living or surviving in the midst of all these calamities. But still, you manage to survive. Why? Because you are Vipra Dharmachyutashraya. You have taken shelter of Vipra Brahmanas, Dharma, the process of devotional service or religion, Achyuta, Krishna, Ashraya. So, all this is actually caused by time factor. Sarvam Kalakritam Manye Bhavatamcha Yadapriyam Sapalo Yadvashe Loko Vayoriva Ghanavali. Everything is done by time. Later Bhishma considered, you are all pure devotees. How can time affect you? Time cannot influence pure devotees. And on top of it, we have such great strength. Krishna is your direct well-wisher. Nahi asya karhichit rajan puman veda vidhichitam yad vijignasaya yukta muhyanti kavayopihi. So Krishna cannot be understood by any intellectual person. I see that as Krishna's plan. Tasmad idam daiva tantram. It's not because of your prarabdha karma that you have suffered. It's not because of the influence of time that you people have suffered, because you are all very exalted, pure devotees of the Lord. You suffered only because of the will of the Lord. The Lord wanted to show some example to this whole world that my devotees will never deviate from dharma or deviate from my devotional service despite undergoing so many difficulties. Right? Like that. Then Bhishma glorified the position of Krishna. See, this Krishna, he is not an ordinary person. He is directly Adi Narayana. What is that verse? Yeshavai Bhagavan Sakshat Adyo Narayana Puman Mohayanna Bhijanati Gudas Charati Vrishnishu. Means this personality is not an ordinary personality. He is Adyo Narayana Puman. He is the Adi, he is the origin of Narayana also. Means Krishna is the original Narayana. All other Narayanas are Xerox copies. Radhesham Prabhu is like this. Original copy is Krishna, other incarnate are Xerox copies. Not printouts. Okay. So Adyo Narayana Puman. And he glorifies Krishna in various ways. Then let that Supreme Lord Krishna wait for me as I depart from this world. Then Bhishma Dev also instructed Yudhishthir Maharaj in Dana Dharma, Raja Dharma, Varnashrama Dharma, Stri Dharma, Bhagavata Dharma. All these dharmas were taught to this Yudhishthir by Bhishma. Now you see, in this assembly where Bhishma is counseling Yudhishthir, who all were there? Krishna was directly present. Narada Muni was there. Vyasadeva was there. Parashuram was there. Dhaumya was there. Vishwamitra, Sukadev Goswami himself was there. So many great, great personalities are there. To counsel, to give a counseling session to Yudhishthir Maharaj is not an ordinary thing. He himself is the knower of religion, personification of religion. It's not counseling an IVS boy. Abhi ita problem chal raha hai. Thik aisa karo. Thik hai bro. So Yudhishthir Maharaj, counseling Yudhishthir Maharaj is not a small thing. In front of so many such universal celebrities, Bhishma counseled this Yudhishthir Maharaj, proving that this Bhishma is not an ordinary personality. He is no less. Don't underestimate Bhishma's potency and power and greatness just because he has sided Duryodhan in the battle of Kurukshetra and fought against the Pandavas, who are glorious devotees. Sometimes because of circumstances or whatever, a genuine person also may seemingly side some opposite party, some bad party. He may be doing something else where a saint devotee is not supposed to be there. Apparently it may seem like that. But you don't know what is the depth of his devotion. So Krishna, many times Bhishma is also misunderstood by so many people. Right? Don't misunderstand him. This is the glory of Bhishma. He is such a great devotee, pure devotee. So his glories are revealed to this whole world. Then Bhishma meditated on Krishna. He offered various prayers. And he was meditating on how Krishna was running towards him with his chariot wheel in the battlefield to protect Arjuna. He was remembering the form of Krishna as Partha Sarathi. Different devotees like different forms of the Lord. So some people like Krishna, some people like Ram, some people like Krishna only in Kurukshetra, some people like Krishna in Dwaraka, some people like Krishna in Vrindavan. Different. Now, Kurukshetra Krishna is so exciting to Bhishma, but when gopis come in front of Krishna in Kurukshetra, they can't handle him. Remove all these kingly attires. Come to Vrindavan. Stay in the bushes. We can't see you surrounded by elephants, horses, soldiers. Krishna is surrounded by gopas, not soldiers in Vrindavan. Krishna is surrounded by monkeys in Vrindavan, not horses. Krishna is surrounded by cows, not elephants in Vrindavan. So elephants and horses and soldiers are not there in Vrindavan. Cows, parrots, peacocks, deer, such sadhu animals, they are there. So gopis like to see him like that. Krishna doesn't wear a crown in Vrindavan. He wears a turban in Vrindavan. He doesn't have so many golden, dazzling ornaments hanging. Yeah, he has that also in Vrindavan also. But along with that, he has some Vaijayanti mala, creepers, peacock feathers. Such simple, simple village ornaments are there. Simple decorations are also there. So they like him to, they like to see him like that. And he likes to see, Bhishma likes to see Krishna as a warrior or someone who is having that fighting spirit. Faces with perspiration, with blood drops here and there, and some wounds here and there. Gopis cannot tolerate that. So different people have like different darshans. So by meditating on Krishna, Bhishma departed from this world. Okay. Now 10th chapter. What's the time now? 9:50. In the 10th chapter, in the beginning, Suta Goswami describes the rule of Maharaj Yudhishthir. So Bhishma's final rites were performed. Yudhishthir Maharaj lamented for a while and resumed his kingdom. And Yudhishthir Maharaj was ruling so wonderfully that his kingdom is filled with so many opulences. Cows were giving profuse amounts of milk, and in the pasturing grounds, they were dropping their milk because of the heavy, fatty, milky bags, and there is kichad formed out of milk, not out of water, like that. So, rain came. Rain comes in proper intervals with proper quantity, like that. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj's kingdom is briefly described. Then Krishna wanted to depart. I stayed here for a long time throughout the war and after the war also. And when I was about to leave, Uttara came running. I stayed back. Then Kunti Maharani came running. Then later Yudhishthira came running. Then Bhishma departed. I went through all these things. No, please give me permission to leave to Dwaraka. Then Yudhishthira says, okay, you can go. We can't tolerate your separation, but okay, fine. You should go to Dwaraka. So Yudhishthira Maharaj gave permission to Krishna and Krishna departed. So when he was departing, all the Hastinapur Vasis were so much in separation from Krishna. So heran viraham katham darshana sparsha samlapa shayanasana bhojanaihi. You remember this? All the Pandavas, they had experience of having such sweet exchanges with Krishna. Darshana, they were seeing Krishna. Sparsha, they were touching Krishna. Samlapa, they were conversing with Krishna. Shayana, they were sleeping with Krishna. Ashana, they were eating with Krishna. Ashana is they were sitting with Krishna, I think. Then Bhojana, they were eating with Krishna. Like that, there are different ways they were reciprocating with Krishna. Directly contacting. So, someone who has such intimate friendship with Krishna, how can he afford or imagine to be away from Krishna? So, heran viraham katham, they can't tolerate these pangs of separation. So, they were feeling extremely emotional when Krishna was departing. And the ladies were crying, tears. And they were forcefully checking their tears just because that Krishna is departing now. There should not be any inauspiciousness in his journey. So when someone is crying at the beginning of a journey, it's considered inauspicious for the person who is journeying. So that's why they were trying to check their tears. And Krishna slowly started moving. Then the Hastinapur ladies who were on the rooftops started discussing about Krishna. Anyonyam asit sanjalpam. ఉత్తమ శ్లోక చేతసాం కౌరవేంద్రపుర స్త్రీణాం సర్వశ్రుతి మనోహరం అన్యోన్యమాసీత్ సంజల్ప అమాంగ్స్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ దే వర్ హ్యావింగ్ సమ్ కాన్వర్జేషన్స్ ఉత్తమ శ్లోక చేతసాం దేర్ చేతస దేర్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఈస్ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ లార్డ్ ఉత్తమ శ్లోక కౌరవేంద్రపుర స్త్రీణాం ఆల్ ది లేడీస్ ఆఫ్ హస్తినాపుర్ సర్వశ్రుతి మనోహరం దీస్ టాక్స్ ఆర్ మోర్ ప్లెజెంట్ దెన్ ఆల్ ది శృతి స్క్రిప్చర్స్ ఆర్ సర్వశ్రుతి మనోహరం కెన్ ఆల్సో మీన్ దీస్ టాక్స్ ఆర్ వెరీ ప్లెజెంట్ టు ఎవ్రీబడీస్ ఇయర్స్ బికాస్ దే ఆర్ డైరెక్ట్లీ గ్లోరిఫైయింగ్ ది లార్డ్ అండ్ దే గ్లోరిఫైడ్ ది లార్డ్ ఇన్ రివరెన్స్ హౌ హీ ఈస్ ద క్రియేటర్ హౌ హీ ఎగ్జిస్టెడ్ ఈవెన్ బిఫోర్ ద క్రియేషన్ హీ ఈస్ పెర్సీవబుల్ ఓన్లీ బై భక్తి అండ్ హౌ హీ perform so many confidential pastimes, how he reciprocates with the residents of Dwaraka in general, the queens of Dwaraka in specific, how they are so fortunate. Aho alam shlaghyatamam yadohkulam, aho alam punyatamam madhorvanam, this madhuvana, yadukula, they are so wonderful, so glorious, because Krishna is there. Like that they glorified Krishna in various ways. Hearing all these talks, Krishna smiled at them and started. He departed from Dwaraka, Hastinapur. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, out of affection for his younger cousin Krishna, he arranged so much of military force to protect Krishna. In that context, Yudhishthira Maharaj was described as Ajata Shatru, one who has no enemy. And Krishna is described as Madhudvisha, one who has enemies. So thus, Yudhishthir was arranging army for Krishna's protection. Although Yudhishthir and his brothers were protected by Krishna in various ways throughout their life. So, when love and affection are there, this logic will not come into picture. For example, a mother may call a child, "Did you eat today? Did you wear the dress properly?" He is grown up, he can manage. He knows what to eat. He knows when to eat. Why you have to ask? That's motherly affection. There is no logic there. You sleep on time. You should sleep on time. You should not walk in sun. And even a 30, 40-year-old grown-up sons also hear these things only from mothers. So that's affection. Okay, next. Lord reciprocated with them and then he departed. And Krishna entered Dwaraka. In Dwaraka, as soon as he came, he blew his conch shell. And all the residents of Dwaraka came running towards Krishna to see Krishna. They were so happy to hear Krishna's conch shell because they were in separation. Earlier, Hastinapur vasis experienced feelings of separation because Krishna was departing. That's called Vipralambha. And these Dwaraka vasis were in separation till now, and now their separation ended. They were receiving Krishna, they were welcoming Krishna. This is called Sambhoga. Meeting. Meeting with Krishna. So at that time, they came with so many gifts to offer to Krishna. And Krishna doesn't need all these gifts. A small child may make a flower bouquet and give it to the father. Father, take this. And where did he pluck the flowers from? From father's garden only. Where did he get the intelligence to make a bouquet? He must have noticed the father only earlier. So, that offering which is given, made by the son, the small child, is completely dependent on the father. And he is offering it to father. So, it seems redundant, but it is not redundant. Because there is something that belongs to the child also there. That is his love and affection. That is his intent to give a gift to the father. And the father is very happy to accept it. Although the offering is insignificant, the love is significant. So, similarly, Krishna also accepted all these presentations. So, in that context, a beautiful analogy comes. Sometimes a worshipper of the sun god may offer a lamp to the sun. Sun is the source of all heat and light. And you offer your small lamp, what will it do to the sun? What will sun do with it? But it's worship. It's an expression of one's love, affection, gratitude, reverence, etc. And the citizens started offering prayers, welcoming the Lord. Bhavaya nastvam bhava vishva bhavana. Tvameva mata atha suhrutpati pita. Tvam sadgurur naha paramam cha daivatam. Yasyanu vrittya kruti no babhuvima. So, bhavaya nastvam bhava vishva bhavana. Oh, the creator of this universe. Oh, Supreme Lord, you are our mother, you are our father, you are our friend, you are our husband, you are our guru, you are our worshipable deity, you are everything to us. Only by following in your footsteps, we attain success. Yasya anuvrutya kritino babhuvima. Before that, they also glorify. Natasmate natha sadanghri pankajam. Virincha vairincha surendra vanditam. Parayanam kshema mihechhatam param. Nayatra kalaha prabhavet para prabho. Natasmati natha sada angri pankajam. We are always offering obeisances unto your lotus feet. And these lotus feet are worshipped by Virinchi, Brahma, Vairincha, means Shiva, Brahmaji's sons, Kumaras, Shiva, Narada and all these people. Vanditam, Parayanam, Kshemam. If at all one is interested in his own welfare in this world, he has to worship the lotus feet of the Lord. So like that they glorified Krishna in various ways and Krishna entered this city of Dwaraka. And how the city of Dwaraka was decorated in various ways is also described. And all the close relatives of the Lord who are so intimately connected with Krishna, they came, leaving everything aside, they came running to meet Krishna. As Krishna is walking on the roads of Dwaraka, it's such a great celebration and festive occasion for all the onlookers. Shriyo nivaso yasyoraham. Panapatram mukham drisham. Bahavo lokapalanam. Saranganam padambujam. Shriyo nivaso yasyoraha. So Krishna's chest is the residence of Goddess of Fortune. Sriyo nivaso yasyoraha panapatram mukham drisham. Krishna's mukha, face, is like panapatra. Panapatra means, patra is a bowl. Panapatra means a bowl that you use to drink. So, Krishna's face is like a bowl with which you drink beauty. Means Krishna's face contains all beauty. Just like a bowl contains water, Krishna's face, the bowl of Krishna's face contains all beauty in the entire creation. Right? So, panapatram mukham drisham bahavo lokapalanam saranganam padambujam. Right? Bahavo means his arms are the source of strength for lokapalas, the managers of the universe. Saranganam padambujam, his feet are shelter for all devotees. Then, Nityam nirikshamananam yadapidvara kaukasam navitrupyanti hidrishaham shriyo dhamangamachyutam. Nityam nirikshamananam, this beautiful face of Krishna, his form of Krishna is being daily seen by all Dwarakavasis. Na vitrupyanti hidrishaha, but their eyes are not satisfied. na vitrupyante hidrishaha shriyo dhamangam achyutam, because the Lord's body anga is the dham of all Shri's beauties. Right. Next, another beautiful verse.
Sita tapatra vijanairupaskritah prasuna varshair abhivarshitah pathim pishanga vasa vanamalaya babho ghano yathar kod pachapa vaidyutaihim.
Sita tapatra vijanairupaskritah, when Krishna is walking, it's like a sun, two moons, an umbrella, and a rainbow, and lightning, and cloud, all of them came together, and stars. So it looked like that. So Krishna's umbrella on top of his head, white umbrella, is looking like sun. And two people were doing chamar to Krishna. They were looking like moons, two moons. Krishna's beautiful garland is looking like a rainbow. Krishna's yellow garments are looking like a lightning. Krishna's body, which is very bluish in color, that looks like a cloud. And so many people are showering flowers on Krishna, they look like stars. Like that, this inconceivable natural phenomena are made possible by this Krishna's darshan. Then Krishna entered the inner chambers. There, he entered the places, the rooms of his mothers and stepmothers. They embraced him. They made Krishna sit on their lap. He's 100 years old, at least 100 years old. So they take 100 years old child and keep on their lap. And because of their affection for Krishna, milk flow from their bodies. Right? Just like a mother of an infant baby can have milk in her body, but 100 year old child is sitting in their lap, and this is spiritual vatsalya rasa. It's not subjected to any material conditions. Then after meeting their mothers, Krishna entered the palaces of their queens. The queens saw Krishna. They embraced Krishna within their hearts by taking Krishna through their eyes. First they embraced Krishna through their eyes, then they embraced Krishna within their hearts, then they sent their sons to embrace Krishna. Right? And these queens, although they are constantly having the association of Krishna, Pade pade ka virameta tatpada chalapi yat shrir na jahati karhichit. Yet they are never satiated with Krishna's association. Next.
Uddama bhava pishuna malabal guhasam. Vridavaloka nihato madano piyasam. Sammuhya chapama jahat pramadottamasta yasyendriyam vimathitum kuhakairna sekuhu uddama bhava pishunamalaval guhasa. Somebody may question, how can Krishna, being a god, being the personality of Godhead, maintain relationships with 16,108 queens, not one or two?
To perform devotional service unto the Lord, renunciation or detachment and giving up association from opposite sex. So these are considered very important and vital to worship that Lord. And that Lord himself is having so many connections with so many women. So how can we digest this fact? So to answer such questions, Suta Goswami describes Krishna's Madhurya aspect, Madhurya Leelas with the queens. Although these queens have such deep feminine attributes, Uddama Bhava, grave expressions, Amalaval Guhasa,
beautiful enchanting smiles. Vridavaloka, sidelong glances. Nihato madanopi yasayan. And all these feminine attributes of these queens can conquer even Cupid, conquer even Shiva, who is considered a dhirapurush. Sammuhya chapam, the Cupid will just give up his bow in frustration and then go away from there. Because when a male and female are interacting in this world, they are actually influenced by the material Cupid. But in case of Krishna and Dwarka queens, without Cupid's influence, Krishna and Dwarka queens are getting attracted to each other. That means they are not material lusty affairs. They are not inspired by material Cupid. They are spiritual affairs. So, yes, Yendriyam, although these feminine attributes of these queens can cause agitation in the minds of Shiva and Cupid also, Krishna's senses are not at all agitated, even to the slightest degree. So the queens could understand that Krishna is their beloved husband. And by worshipping Krishna, even a devotee also can be so self-controlled like that. Arjuna, he was not at all tempted by Urvasi. Now, in this context, another verse comes. This is the divinity of the Supreme Lord. What is that verse? Beginning? Etadishanam ishasya prakriti sthopi tadgunehi na yujyate sadatmasthair yatha buddhi tadashraya. This is the divinity of the Supreme Lord. Although he is in contact with the material nature, prakriti sthopi, he is dealing with matter. He is creating this material world. He is maintaining this material world. He is destroying this material world. All these are his interactions with matter, but he is not at all affected by that material interactions. Similarly, a devotee also, a pure devotee also, who is so fixed up in devotional service to Krishna, when he interacts with so many materialistic people or material things in this world, he is not affected. He is like a water drop on a lotus leaf. He is not affected. Like that. Now, the sages of Naimisharanya remind Suta Goswami, actually you began with Parikshit Maharaj's birth and you went to different topics. He began that Uttara came running to Krishna and Krishna brought it to Parikshit Maharaj. From there he just went into Kunti's prayers, Bhishma's departure, Yudhishthira's kingdom, Krishna's going away from Dwaraka, Hastinapur, he is entering into Dwaraka and his queens, and so many topics came. In four chapters went. They reminded, hey, what about Parikshit Maharaj? What happened to him? Then he came back on track. Detour, he went on a detour. Sometimes speakers also may get into ecstasy and then speak so many topics, spiritual topics, of course, glorification of Krishna only. But they may slightly go away from the current topic and elaborate more on certain aspects. And then they come back to the main storyline. So Sanaka Rishi renews these topics of Parikshit Maharaj. Then again, Suta Goswami says, Angushta matram avalam spurat purita maulinam apivya darshanam shyamam tadidvasasam achyutam. Krishna appeared in the form of, in the size of a thumb, and entered the womb of Uttara and counteracted the heat of Brahmastra and protected Parikshit Maharaj. And in this context, Yudhishthir Maharaj performed so many rituals, naming ceremony, all this he has done so that Parikshit Maharaj's birth rites can be conducted. Then Brahmanas assembled there in that context and predicted the future activities and qualities of Parikshit Maharaj. And the whole chapter is filled with comparisons between Parikshit and various other great personalities in exhibiting certain quality. Like Shibi, Parikshit is charitable. Like Bharat, he expands the name of the family. So like that, so many comparisons come. Then, so birth is over. Now, next topic is
Parikshit Maharaj's activities. Before describing the activities of Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami has to describe how he has become a king first. Before he becomes king, who all retired? Pandavas retired. Before that, Krishna disappeared. And Dhritarashtra also quit home. So all these things happened before Parikshit became the king. So he starts narrating all of them. So once, in Hastinapur, before the war, Kurukshetra war, Vidura was giving good advice to Dhritarashtra. Check out this fellow, Duryodhan. He is the cause of the destruction of your entire dynasty. He is very dangerous. You cannot maintain him as your son. It's not proper. Sa esha dosha purusha dvidaste grahan pravishtoyam apatyamatya. Apatyamatya, you are thinking that he is your son. But he is actually destroyer of your entire dynasty. So you can't be maintaining him. You should check him out. So like that he told. Then Duryodhan came there and told, who asked the son of this kept mistress to come and advise us against our interests in favor of our enemies? We just give remuneration of his breath in his nostrils as the remuneration for the lifelong service he has done to the throne of Hastinapur. And we ask him to get out of this place. Like that, Yudhishthira was thrown out of Hastinapur. And Vidura. Then Vidura goes for a pilgrimage. He meets Maitreya. He hears two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he comes back to Hastinapur after this whole war has happened. During the war time, when Yudhishthira became the king, Vidura was under pilgrimage and hearing Bhagavatam from Maitreya. Then when Vidura came to Hastinapur, then Yudhishthira Maharaj received him so well. Tam bhuktavantam vishrantam asinam sukhamasare. He was given food, he was given rest, he was given a seat, then he inquired. Yudhishthira Maharaj glorified Vidura. Bhavad vidha bhagavata tirtha bhuta swayam vibho tirthi kurvanti tirtha nisvantaste nagadabhrita. There are people like you, great personalities, great devotees. They can even purify the places of pilgrimage. You are so glorious. You know the whole import of the verse, you have discussed it. So like that, the glory of devotees is mentioned. Then Yudhishthira asked so many questions. My dear Yudhishthira, my dear Vidura, you have gone through so many places. Did you go to Dwaraka? Did you meet Krishna? How are the Yadavas? And he asked many other questions. Then Vidura answered all those questions, but he did not reveal that Krishna departed from this world. Vidura did not reveal that Yadus were annihilated. They fought amongst themselves and they departed from this world. That point was not mentioned to him. Because this is bad news. Such bad news will automatically come of its own accord. Why should one unnecessarily make a propaganda of this bad news and unnecessarily cause agitation and anxiety in the minds of people? Somehow that will be known to them. Why should I just get into advertising it so much? But the modern mentality is totally different. When there is a bad news, 100 newspapers will report it, 100 websites will show it, 100 TV channels will show it, and people will start discussing. So, thus the entire ether is contaminated with negativity. So much of negativity is there in ether. So, but the Vedic civilization is exactly opposite. When it is a good news, everybody knows. When it is a bad news, only the intended people will know. And there is very minimum possible discussion on that subject matter. To the extent of addressing it. To address some issue, you need to discuss the negativity involved in it. Right? To a certain degree, as much as required. not to dwell on it, not to just propagate it, not to just reveal it to everybody who is not at all connected here. Irrelevant sharing of information, redundant sharing of information, that is the nature of Kali Yuga. But civilized circles, they don't unnecessarily discuss this negative propaganda. All the TV channels and all these are centered around this only. Now, so Vidura came for one purpose only. Not that now this Duryodhan is not there, nobody will object me. The pilgrim is both ho gaya, both austerity ho gaya. So let me go and stay peacefully in Hastinapur Palace. That was not the intent. Once he quit the palace means he came out for good. I'm no more attracted to these palace comforts anymore. I came to just enlighten my blind brother who is still attached to this palace. So then Vidura chastises Dhritarashtra like anything. He says, you are living like a household dog here. Get out of here immediately. There is no remedy possible because death is just coming upon you. Time forces everyone to surrender everything. Even life also we need to surrender. And you have seen so many people. Your sons died, your father died, your relatives died. So many people died. So you will also die. Already you have so many symptoms of old age. You are blind since birth and you are unable to hear now properly. Asthma, you are having coughing, so many ragas are coming out when you are coughing. So like that, in various ways he showed the symptoms of old age and how Dhritarashtra was nearing death. And you are living like a household dog and eating the chapatis thrown on your face by Bhima. And are you not ashamed to live such a degraded life? You have tried to kill these Pandavas so many times and now you are maintaining at the cost of their mercy. Are you not ashamed? So better you go out. So then Dhritarashtra goes out to the north. First time Dhritarashtra has heard what Vidura spoke. Vidura Niti. Vidura Niti is very popular. But that Niti is meant for Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan. They never heard it. But the whole world is hearing it. Like that. And Vidura being Yamaraj, he could not do anything to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan at that time. After that what happened we don't know, but although he is Yamaraj, he can punish all the sinful living entities. Vidura was helplessly watching this unlimited sins committed by these fellows, Duryodhan. Are, if he comes to Yamalokna, I will just show him what I am. Right, internally that may be the truth processor, I don't know what exactly it is, but he became helpless witness to all these things. So sometimes devotees, powerful people also are put into situations where you can't address it. This is my area, but now I am unable to do anything here. you are an expert cook, you can cook for 1,000 people most delicious prasadam. You are asked to sit in the kitchen and then watch people. Some neophytes are cooking. They are burning rice from bottom. They are overboiling milk. They are putting more salt in the recipe. They are making khichdi in such an avadhut style. Like that, they are doing all kinds of experiments in the kitchen and you are helplessly witnessing. Kuch bolne ka nahi. Sir, dekho. And even if you start speaking, nobody will listen. Arey, chup baitho. Kya? Humko pata hai. Because they don't know your background that you are an expert cook. Right? Because Duryodhan doesn't know that Vidura was Yamaraj. No, I'm chastising and sending him out. Once I go to his abode, what will he do to me? How many thousands of years of punishment he will give me in different types of hellish planets, we don't know. Like that. Anyways, this Dhritarashtra realized and he went to the forest. Gandhari, being a chaste wife, she understood the movements of her husband and she also departed. And later, Yudhishthir Maharaj found them missing. Vidura was not there, Gandhari was not there, Dhritarashtra was also not there.
So all three are not there, and then he lamented, oh, I killed their sons, they feel so unhappy because of me, I unnecessarily caused pain and trouble to so many people, I am sinful, I am this, I am that. He started lamenting. Then Narada Muni came there and gave another counseling session to Yudhishthira. You are thinking that you are maintaining these people. Without you, how can they maintain themselves? Understand. Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatushpadam falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. It is Krishna who is maintaining everyone. He has made a nice system where one living entity depends on another living entity for its sustenance. So by the natural system, things are there. Readily there. You don't have to think. This is what he is trying. And also, kala karma gunadhino jantoyam pancha bhautikaha. Someone who himself is getting tormented by this kala, karma, guna, deha, etc. How can he protect others? Sarpagrastho, a person who is being swallowed by the python of time, how can he give helping hand to another one? Okay, come, I will protect you. Wo bhi jayega andar. Sar, saam ke muh pe. Like that. So, Narada Muni consoles Yudhishthira Maharaj and says, Krishna descended to reduce the burden of this world. His mission is now getting fulfilled. He can all be around as long as Krishna is around. That's all. Narada Muni knows that Krishna already departed, but that news was not revealed to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Narada Muni did not personally reveal. Anyways, they will come to know when Arjuna comes. So after that, Yudhishthira Maharaj started observing so many bad omens in his kingdom. He started sharing them with Bhima. Bhima, I am seeing so many dangerous omens in this life, in my kingdom. What happened? And also Arjuna went to Dwaraka. 7 months passed. He went to Dwaraka to know the next program of Krishna, but he did not come till now. What happened? I'm worried. Then, as they were discussing like that, Arjuna comes to Dwaraka. And Yudhishthira Maharaj asks him 100 questions. How is Ugrasena? How is Vasudev? How are his wives? How is Krishna? How is Balaram? How is Charudeshna? How is Samba? How are the queens of Krishna? How is this? How is that? Like that, 100 questions he will ask. Arjuna was unable to speak a single word in response to these questions. Then, he directly asks about Arjuna's health and other personal things. Have you been disrespected by someone? Your health is okay? Were you defeated by someone, by an equal or an inferior? Or could you not protect someone? Or did you not share food with children or old men and you ate it yourself? Or did you contact with a woman of an impeachable character? So like that, he asked so many questions, and hearing all the speculative inquiries of Yudhishthira, Arjuna was a little bothered and grief-stricken, because he was undergoing tremendous amount of pain because of Krishna's departure. He says, Vanchitoham Maharaja Harina Bandhurupina Yename apahritam tejo deva vismapanam mahat. My dear Krishna, sorry, my dear Yudhishthira Maharaj, I have been cheated royally. All my powers are gone. We discussed that, right? Elaborately in our regular class. So, Krishna is no more there now. My power that mesmerized the demigods is no more with me. Yasya kshana viyogena loko hyapriya darshanah ukthena rahito hyesha mritakah prochyate yatha. A moment of separation from Krishna will render all universes into void and null, devoid of life. I am unable to tolerate separation from him. Like that he says. And whatever I could accomplish in life, winning hand of Draupadi, defeating demigods, and Bhima defeating Jarasandha, and we being protected from Durvasmani's anger, and defeating Kaurama's army, all these things happened only because of Krishna's mercy. So, then he says, Tadvai dhanusta ishavaha saratho hayaste soham rathi nrupatayo yata anamanti sarvam kshanena tada bhuda sadisha riktam bhasmam hutam kuhakaradhami vopamushyam. All my prowess have become like oblations in ashes. Then money created by a magician. Seeds planted in a barren land. So like that I have become useless. Then Arjuna accepted everything as Lord's will and remembered the instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, and all of them planned for departure. So they have given the kingdom to Janamejaya, and Yudhishthira Maharaj also enthroned Vajra as the king of that Dwaraka, and he departed, and without even depending on his brothers. After Yudhishthira departed, other Pandavas also departed without paying much attention to Subhadra or Draupadi, their wives. And they also could, they are also great devotees. They also planned for their departure, and all of them went back to Godhead. Thus Parikshit Maharaj became king. Then Parikshit Maharaj started hearing from here and there that Kali Yuga is influencing his citizens. So Parikshit Maharaj went out on his chariot to find out the activities of Kali. So at one point, Parikshit Maharaj, and wherever he goes, he only sees glorification of Krishna and Pandavas and their wonderful relationship. He hears Sarathya Parishada Sevana Sakhya Dautya Virasananu Gamana Stavana Pranaman Snigdheshu Pandushu Jagat Pranatimcha Vishnor Bhaktim Karoti Nrupatischarana Aravindi. Krishna acted as a Sarathi, Parishada, Sevana, Sakhya, and all these capacities Krishna acted towards the Pandavas, because he is so impressed with the malleability of the Pandavas. Okay. They are malleable to the will of the Lord. So then Parikshit Maharaj sees at one place a bull and a cow being troubled by a Sudra dressed like a king. Actually, this scene was not visible to everybody. In his yogic trance and yogic vision, only Parikshit was able to see this, witness this. He went to that place. Cow and bull were actually discussing. The bull was inquiring from the cow, "My dear cow, why are you lamenting? Are you lamenting because I lost my three legs? Are you lamenting because unlawful meat eaters will spoil you, exploit you? Our demigods are bereft of sacrificial offerings. There will be famine, drought. Women and children are not cared for. Goddess of learning is mishandled by Brahmanas." So like that, so many reasons he gives. Basically, all these are the symptoms of Kali Yuga. So, then the bull, when the bull asked these questions, the cow said, cow is earth, bull is dharma personified. Cow said, all the above. You gave me options A, B, C, D, E, F. None of the above, all of the above. I take all the above. I am lamenting for all these things. I am lamenting for your condition also. I am lamenting for everybody's condition also. I am lamenting mainly for Krishna's absence. Because all these conditions manifested because of Krishna's absence. I was so flourishing when Krishna is there with us, and she speaks 40 qualities of Krishna. Kava saheta viraham purushottamasya. Premavaloka ruchirasmita valgujalpaihi. Sthairyam samana maharan madhumanininam. Romotsavo mama yadam ghrivitankitaya. Kava saheta viraham purushottamasya. Who can tolerate the pangs of separation from Purushottama Krishna? Premavaloka, with his loving glances. Ruchirasmita, with his pleasing smiles. Valgujalpaihi, with his hearty appeals. Sthairyam sa mana maharan madhumaninam. He subdues the passionate wrath of such sweethearts like Satyabhama. Romotsavo mama yadanghri vitankitaya. When he was traversing on my surface, I am celebrating. Then, like that discussion was going on between the earth and bull. At that time, Parikshit Maharaj came there. He saw the condition of this bull and cow tormenting. Even if one cow or one bull is troubled, beaten by someone, Parikshit Maharaj was prepared to kill him. Right? So, such is, that is unimaginable. It is unimaginable to maintain an organized slaughterhouse to kill hundreds of cows. Because in the Vedic culture, in Parikshit Maharaj's days, just 5,000 years back also, even torturing one cow and one bull is also considered greatest offense, and the punishment is death. Now, the rulers themselves may sanction in Kali Yuga. You can maintain slaughterhouse, no problem. You can sell beef, no problem. We send us also, 10 kilo bhejo, our party, aaj, sham ko. Like that. So, then Parikshit Maharaj asked Kali, in the absence of Krishna, you are acting in such a heinous way. You deserve to be killed. Like that, Parikshit Maharaj chastised this Kali. And before punishing Kali and killing Kali, he wanted a statement of accusation from the bull. He asked, my dear bull, who is the cause of your suffering? Please tell me. I will immediately punish him. Because as a executive head of the state, he wanted to make sure that he also gets a statement of accusation from the victim before punishing the criminal. Although it's quite evident, but he just wanted some statement also. But the bull said, interestingly, different people say different reasons for suffering. We are asking who is the cause of our suffering, but we are bewildered by different philosophers. Some people say Daiva is the cause of suffering, superhuman powers. Some people say Swabhava is the cause of suffering, one's own nature. Some people say Karma is cause of suffering. Some people say Kala is the cause of suffering. Some people say our own self, Atma, is the cause of suffering. Different philosophers are saying different things. We are bewildered. But the cause of our suffering is apratarkyat anirdeshyat. It's beyond our logical ability and intelligence to figure out what it is. What is that? That inconceivable cause for suffering? That is Krishna. It is not proper to directly point out Krishna is the cause of my suffering. It's in a generic way, Krishna is the cause of all causes. That's the way he presented Dharma. Then Parikshit understood. Oh, my dear Dharma, I could notice that you are Dharma. Because someone who knows Dharma will not point out someone else as the cause of one's suffering. Either he reconciles, saying that everything is ordained by Krishna, not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of Krishna, or I am suffering because of my own past deeds. So, I will not blame anyone. So, no blame game. Like that. Tapah shaucham daya satyam iti padah krite kritah adharmam shaihi trayo bhagnah smaya sangamadaistava. Okay. Next. Abhyartitah tada tasmai sthana nikalaye dadu. Like that, Parikshit Maharaj understood. Although you don't give me a statement of accusation because you are dharma, I know who is the culprit. I'm going to kill him. So Parikshit Maharaj pulled his sword to kill Kali. But interestingly, Kali surrendered. He fell at the feet of Parikshit and said, I surrender to you. I take your shelter. Don't kill me. How can you kill someone who has taken your shelter? So Parikshit Maharaj's first attempt failed. Then Parikshit said, okay, I will not kill you, don't worry, but you cannot stay in my kingdom, get out. Then Kali said, how can I get out of your kingdom? If you have given me shelter, you should also give me a place of residence. What kind of shelter is this? You told, you have given me shelter, you should also give me a place to reside. Then Parikshit Maharaj's second attempt failed to eliminate Kali.
to check him out of the kingdom. Then Parikshit said, okay, you can stay in those four places where four regulative principles are broken. Wherever there is meeting, wherever there is intoxication, illicit sex and gambling, you can stay there. Then everybody knows, Kali also knows, that such places do not exist in Parikshit's kingdom. So Kali asked, you are giving me places which are not existing only. You are practically sending me out. You should give me a place where I can stay. Third attempt failed. Then Parikshit said, okay, you can stay at a place where there is gold, wealth. Because when there is wealth, opulence, there is a possibility that these four regulative principles are broken. Right? Then Parikshit Maharaj made his fourth attempt to eliminate Kali. What is that? He utilized all that gold and wealth in Krishna conscious activities and thus made Kali practically residenceless. Clear? First he wanted to kill, it didn't happen. He wanted to send him out of the kingdom, it didn't happen. He wanted to give him four places where four regulative principles are broken, but that also didn't work out. He gave him gold and utilized gold in different purposes, in Krishna conscious purposes. Thus Kali did not have a place. But the inevitable course of a change of seasons is supposed to happen by the will of the Lord. So Kali has to enter. So now you can't stop monsoon for a longer time. Monsoon has to come after summer is over. Winter has to come after summer, after monsoon is over. So Kali Yuga has to come. So Krishna made a plan. What is that plan? Although Parikshit Maharaj is so glorious that he can even eliminate Kali, kill Kali. But Parikshit Maharaj. Then after hearing all this, the sages of Naimisharanya, they told Parikshit Maharaj, they told Srutta Goswami that, oh, these activities of Parikshit Maharaj are really wonderful, glorious. We want to hear them more and more, more and more. Please speak more, please speak more. And you are. Nauttama shloka vartanam jushatam tat katham vratam syat sambhramunta kale pismaratam tat padam bhujam. Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj is such an exalted personality. He could remember the Supreme Lord even at the time of departure also. Narudveshti kalim samrat saranga eva sarabhuk. Sutta Goswami is saying that he did not hate Kali, Parikshit Maharaj. Why? Because saranga, he seeks the essence. An essence seeker will not get into certain details and then get on the case based on certain detail. Essentially, he is good. In what sense? Because in Kali Yuga, even if you think of performing some good deeds, you will get the benefit. Even if you have not actually performed them. And if you think of performing a bad activity, you may not get that bad result. Right? Unless you perform it. So Kali Yuga has this additional advantage. So Kali Yuga minds are not controlled. On top of it, if you are held responsible for even your thoughts also, mar jayega aadmi. It's too much for a person to handle. I should not have even a negative thought also. I think only negativity all the while. Or at least 99% of my thoughts are negative. Kali Yuga person will become so hopeless. So like that. So then there is a long discussion between sages and Sutta Goswami about the glories of hearing Krishna Katha. Very beautiful thing. Some question, bro? So tolayam alave napina swargam napinar bhavam bhagavat sanghi sanghasya martyanam kimuta asishah. Take a tula. Tula means this. Balance. On one side you put one moment of association of devotees, which is a small aspect of the process of devotional service. In the process of devotional service there is sadhu sangha also. That is one limb. And within that sadhu sangha, you take one moment association only.
A small aspect of bhakti you kept there on one side. On the other side of the balance, you put the ultimate results of karma process and jnana process. What are they? Heaven and liberation. Then this will go down and this will come up. This is heavier than that. That's how bhakti is superior to karma and jnana. सुको नाम तृप्य रसवित कथाया महत्तम एकांत परायण से हरेरुदारम चरितम विशुद्धम शुश्रूषतामनो वितनोत विद्वन तन्नो भवान वै. I just added these two verses. So basically the glory of hearing Krishna Katha is discussed by both parties, both Sukadeva Goswami and Naimisharanya sages. So we need to notice one thing here, that these people are discussing Krishna Katha and they are convinced about it. Many times a sadhaka may participate in Krishna Katha, but he himself is not convinced whether what he is doing is proper or not. Is there a better way of utilizing my time? Maybe I should do something else. So this kind of thoughts will come occasionally or once in a while or maybe regularly in certain immature sadhakas. But the conviction with which they are discussing, you can see, Maitreya, Vidura. There is a lot of Krishna Katha in Bhagavatam. There is a lot of glorification of Krishna Katha. There is a lot of discussion about Krishna Katha also in Bhagavatam. So, these episodes, these small sections should give us a good conviction that Krishna Katha is the best process. So, then Suta Goswami continues. Once upon a time, Parikshit went for hunting. He became thirsty and fatigued. He went to Shimikrishi's ashram and asked for some water. But the Rishi is in trance, he is meditating. Then Parikshit Maharaj asked for a few times and then he became very angry and he kept a dead snake around his neck just to insult him. But all these things happened by the will of the Lord. How can such a great personality like Parikshit Maharaj be so tormented by thirst? Someone who could tolerate the heat of Brahmastra in the womb of mother, can't he tolerate an urge to drink a glass of water? And his grandfather is Gudhakesha. Gudhakesha means one who conquers sleep. Can't Parikshit Maharaj conquer thirst? And just after this incident, Parikshit Maharaj started fasting until death. 7 days and seven nights he was hearing Bhagavatam. During that 7 days of hearing, 7/24 he was hearing. He did not take water. He did not take food. So he has that ability. They are all Rajarshis, great personalities. It's not that they can become so restless and their life will go away if they don't drink little water. But it's quite astonishing and surprising that Parikshit is so bent upon taking a glass of water. It's too much. Second, Parikshit is a protector of Brahmanical culture. How can he ever disrespect a Brahmana even in dream? Did he ever do that before this? Did he ever do that after this? No, it happened only once in his life. That is sure that Parikshit Maharaj is certainly acting under the will of Krishna. It's not an ordinary incident. It's not a regular incident. Clear? Next. So Parikshit Maharaj did that. And when he came back, Parikshit Maharaj was lamenting like anything. He felt that I have performed such a heinous activity. How could I disrespect a Brahmana like this? I desire calamity. I expect calamity. Because I have done some mistake. When someone does a mistake, he can expect some punishment. But Parikshit Maharaj is desiring some punishment. I need some punishment. I desire it. Because if I don't atone for this mistake that I have done, if I don't suffer or get punished for this mistake that I have done, I may be encouraged to do the same mistake again. Or if I am not punished for it, my descendants, other people might get punished because of me. They may suffer. Why should someone else suffer because of me? So I need a punishment. So he was contemplating like that at that time. Shemikrishi's son, Shemikrishi's disciple called Gauramukha comes there and informs him what all has happened. What happened after Parikshit Maharaj left? From Shemikrishi's hermitage, someone informed Sringi that Parikshit Maharaj, some king came and insulted your father. Then Sringi, immature boy, immediately cursed Parikshit to die within 7 days. Then after that he came and saw the father and started crying. Then father opened eyes. Hey, my dear boy, why are you crying? And he narrated the whole scene. So Shemikrishi opened his eyes, he saw the dead snake, he just threw it away. And then, oh, what happened? Why are you crying? He didn't even pay any heed to this. He didn't consider it very serious at all. Who did this to me? He did not become angry. He was so detached. But he became very proud and cursed him. Then Shemikrishi also lamented, how could you curse a monarch to be killed like that? It's not proper like that. He told so many things. And he had sent a message. Then Gauramukha came and gave that message to Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj took this as a cause of indifference. And he took this as a blessing in disguise, and he gave his kingdom to Janamejay and went to the bank of Ganges and sat there to fast until death. As if advertised, as if some WhatsApp messages are sent, broadcasted. So many sages in the entire cosmic manifestation assembled to see this glorious departure of Parikshit Maharaj. Then Parikshit Maharaj asked the sages, what is the immediate duty in all circumstances, and specifically what is the duty at the time of death? Then Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami appeared there as if he was called by someone. He came and sat on the Vyasasana, and Parikshit Maharaj asked him question, my dear Sukadeva Goswami, what is the duty of all people in general? What is the duty of a person who is about to die? How to live and how to leave? That's the question he asked. Tatra bhavat bhagavan vyasaputro. Then there are so many other verses also where Parikshit Maharaj glorifies Sukadeva Goswami. Yesham samsmaranat pumsam sadhyah shuddhyanti vaigrihaha kim punardarshana sparsha pada sochasanadabhi. Like that, so many verses are there. The glory of saintly persons. Presence as appreciated by Parikshit Maharaj, and many other things are there. You have heard it 2 days back only. Any questions or comments? We completed 19 chapters overview. Yes, Prabhu. It's much after the death of Parikshit Maharaj. After the departure of Parikshit Maharaj. Actually, it's connected to Romaharshan Sutta also. I don't exactly remember the thing, but at least 100 years is there. Romaharshan Sutta was speaking to these people, Sonakadi Rishis. Then Balramji comes and kills him. You know that 10th canto, later chapters. Then Sota Goswami starts speaking. Right? There is a good amount of gap, I don't know exact number of years, but there is a good amount of gap between Parikshit Maharaj's departure and Sota Goswami starts speaking to Sonakadi Rishis.
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. Did Parikshit Maharaj left Kali protected, didn't kill him just because that he surrendered, or there was some internal reasons that he was feeling?
He surrendered. A king is not supposed to
kill someone who has surrendered or have taken shelter.
Was that the only reason that he left him alive? Or there was some internal reason that he was feeling
Krishna's will. About Kali has to flourish. Kali Yuga has to come. That is Krishna's arrangement. The inevitable course of change of yugas has to happen.
I mean, did he have an impression that in Kali Yuga people can have liberation just by chanting of the holy name? It is so simple, like that kind of feeling. And you just told that...
He knows. He knows. All the details are not mentioned, but he knows that in Kali Yuga, even good thoughts also will reward good results, but bad thoughts are not punished. So that much he knows, Parikshit, certainly.
Prabhu, where in Srimad Bhagavatam it is written? Because I read that whole chapter, but it's not written that good thoughts can give good results, but sometimes bad deeds can only give bad results, not the bad thoughts are not counted. So
mentioned somewhere, I can get the reference later.
It's not in that chapter. I mean.